So typical model for the S&OP process. So you have the end of 1 month, and then you have the data gathering. You have the demand plan which has come in. Now you have the historical data. So what actual sales and actual supplies that you have received, and you also have the statistical forecast for the coming months. Statistical forecasts are actually derived, based on the historical sales. It can take into consideration, the seasonality and the statistical models, which give you most accurate fit, are normally used for different products. So then you have the demand planning, where you have the management forecast, so forecast which is coming from the distributors, from the marketing, from the sales, and based on this, you have the supply planning. You have a pre-meeting where you have any conflict resolution, conflict in the sense that if you're falling short of some capacity, you find that you have a bottleneck, and there is certain product which needs to be produced, but you don't have sufficient capacity available. So you will decide what is to be produced there. So generally, companies have a philosophy. The products which are more critical to the customer, or the products which are more profitable, will be the ones which will be given a priority. If there is a bottleneck, the products which are less of a specialty, that means products which are more like a commodity or which have low margin, so those will be relegated, or you decide not to produce those products, or you may adopt other strategies, like you may decide to outsource these products or so. And so once you have finalized, you have resolved the conflicts in terms of any constraints as far as the resources are concerned, then finally you finalize the plan, and then you start the execution part. Demand review process. The ultimate goal of the demand plan is to gain consensus on what will be sold and what revenue will be produced for each product line each month. So this is what we were talking about. You are looking at what you will produce. Now, suppose you have got enough capacity to produce, then you will like to produce everything that has been forecasted. So whatever is the demand plan, you would like to make that. But suppose you have a bottleneck or you have a constraint in the system, then you will decide, what is the revenue that you want to target. So you will look at the profitable products, the high-value products, where you have a unique USP, because you would not like to deprive the market and lose the market share in such cases. So you will be deciding during the demand review what are the products finally that you're going to produce. The intent is to continuously improve forecast accuracy and agree on a single demand plan that is then passed on to the supply chain. So a supply team. Because as I said, the forecast is coming from various sources. The marketing, the sales, they may have the forecast coming based on their own promotions or certain projects or efforts which they are putting in the market. The distributors also are giving their independent forecast, or they may be actually placing the orders because there is a certain lead time. So they are required to place the orders maybe a month or 15 days in advance before they require the delivery. So these inputs are all considered, and then you actually arrive at the single demand plan which the team will work with. So supply team is typically comprised of people from purchasing, inventory management, production, warehousing, logistics, the entire gamut of supply chain. So all the people are involved, and whatever decision taken is a collective decision. So their goal is to develop a proactive approach to resolving imbalances in capacity. So we talked about, bottlenecks or any other manpower constraints, etc. So those have to be resolved. And as I said, depending upon the importance of the product, the profitability of the product, and the USP of the product, you may decide which product will be produced and which will not be produced, or you may alternatively decide that you're going to outsource the products which are not of a specialty in nature. Identify capacity constraints, develop a procurement plan, and maximize the resource utilization. So you would like to maximize the utilization of your resources, and when I say resources, it is materials and the capacities, and of course the manpower. That means you would like to make full use of your capacity, because these are fixed cost. Whether you produce or you don't produce, they incur certain cost. If the labor are there, you have to pay them the salary. So whether you produce the material or you don't produce the material, so always the effort is to use them to the maximum, so that you utilize the fixed cost and you spread them on the maximum revenue. So the supply chain team creates a supply plan that includes a rough cut capacity plan, a procurement plan, and accompanying cost. Fairly simple statement to understand. Major steps involved in this are: review the current plan, consider how to introduce new products and phase out older one. So the marketing will always come out with the innovations. There is always the product life cycle, because you know, over a period of time you may find a product continues to the sales continue to decline, and then you need to revive the sales. So how do you do that? You upgrade the product, you relaunch the product with a different feature, different name, different appearance, and you have to upgrade the product. So it may also involve changing the tooling, the design, changing certain features of the raw material that you are procuring. Review the current demand and create a demand plan that includes marketing and sales forecast. So this is what we talked about, that you are creating a demand plan, which is a mix of the marketing, the sales, and the distribution forecasts. Create an operations plan to satisfy the demand plan, or identify capacity and component shortages. So as we said, you create an operational plan, and also any conflicts with respect to capacity restrictions, etc. So those need to be resolved, or component shortage. So in case there is a surge in demand and you're not able to replenish the stocks, so then those have to be resolved. Either you may have some replenishment through air, or you may have to defer the plan for these kind of products. Do a financial review to make sure the scenarios meet the financial targets. Financial targets in terms of revenue, in terms of profitability, etc. So these also need to be validated. Hold an executive S&OP meeting to review the proposed scenarios and determine which plan best meets the company's objectives, using a what-if analysis for various scenarios. Okay. So S&OP has four major ingredients. So first one is the people. S&OP is a team sport and one of the most cross-functional processes in an organization, and requires inputs from sales, marketing, finance, supply chain, manufacturing, and so on. The composition of the team in a leading organization is typically what we see here. So you have representation in the S&OP team from all these functions. Process. So the below table explains how the process is in S&OP. So what it is and what it is not is explained here. So S&OP is not a monthly meeting. So it's not kind of a review meeting or so. It's a governance and operating model. You are basically planning your entire operations and the demand fulfillment here. It's not a historical performance review. So it is not like a performance review, of your month gone by or the year gone by. It's a forward-looking plan. It's essentially what you are planning for the future, for the current month and for the future. It's not a forecasting process. That means this is not only about forecasting. Although forecasting is only one of the component, it's a decision-making process.
It's not about volumes or unit focused, but it's volume, units, and earning focused. So what we talked about, you know, the revenue and the profitability, etc. So everything is taken into consideration here. Metrics and dashboard review. So again, it's not about reviewing the KPI or the KRAs, but it's a driver of actionable insights. It's a very, very action oriented meeting or a forum that you have in S&OP. Information, the data from every level of demand and supply chain is used here. Technology, the system that supports the planning and the decision making. So these are the major ingredients, you know, which S&OP encompasses. So what are the keys to effectiveness of the S&OP? East-west integration, which is bringing together the demand and the supply planning. So demand is on the customer side and the supply is on the vendor side, and these have to be matched. So if you don't have the supplies, then you cannot meet the demand. And if you have a certain demand, the supply has to be synchronized with the demand so that you don't end up with excess inventory. The north-south integration, which is bringing together the finance and the operations. Tying together volume and the mix plan. So we talked about the product mix, because you know generally the organizations which have S&OP, they have a very vast complexity in terms of large number of products, etc. So you have to tie the volumes and the mix. So I mean, you are deciding on the finished product wise volumes that you're going to produce or fulfill the demand. So S&OP on demand, not only on schedule. So S&OP can be as and when you require. You may, in the current COVID times, in my organization, we are having a weekly S&OP, because it's not that you once make a plan and then you forget about it or you just stick to the plan. It's also about course correction as you go along, whether you know the demand is fluctuating, whether there is additional demand coming in. So it is you know, not as per a fixed schedule, but as and when you require the S&OP to be conducted for you know, deciding the way forward, you need to conduct it. Any enterprise that can find all four of these keys will unlock the door to S&OP and take a big step up the maturity staircase. So if you're employing all these four you know, aspects or the four keys of effectiveness, then certainly the maturity of your S&OP is bound to be very, very high, and it will reflect in your business performance. So let's look at now the four keys one by one. So east-west integration, which is the demand plus supply. So all plans can be developed in the single system and encompass you know, all the operational details that fall under the high-level summaries. Many call this east-west integration to suggest how it brings two points of the compass together. And we already talked about it, how we have to, you know, match the demand with the supply. This integration of demand and supply is vital to gain a cross-enterprise view, cross-functional view, better and faster planning, and better decision support. The north-south integration, which is the finance and the operations. So another key to S&OP success is bringing the finance into the process in a meaningful way. This is called the north-south alignment. So S&OP gives the CFO an opportunity to evaluate, monitor, and influence the financial impact of the plan. So in terms of the mix which has been decided, how it will impact the organization in terms of the revenues, the expenditures, and also in terms of the profitability. Finance should play an active role in setting targets and ensuring the operational plans are aligned with the corporate objectives. So you have set out a budget at the beginning of the year, And one of the function that finance has to see that those objectives are met through the S&OP process. Bringing finance into S&OP is the second most important factor in building revenue, profit, customer satisfaction, and forecast accuracy. So finance does impact your revenue and profit decisions. Customer satisfaction, yes, because sometimes you have to make a decision to include certain product in your S&OP, in your plan. They may be crucial or critical in the sustainable performance in keeping the customers satisfied and for ongoing business relationship, and also for the forecasting accuracy. Linking financial metrics such as revenue, margins, and cash flow to operational metrics such as order delivered on time in full, inventory turns, and capacity utilization gives you a way to check if your operational decisions are consistent. So on one hand, you are trying to maximize your revenue, your margin, and your cash flow. But at the same time, you also need to achieve your operational metrics such as, you know, the whether OTIF, the on time in full performance, is you know, up to the mark as per the policies or the guidelines of the organization. The inventory turns, that means are you churning the inventory right number of times? Higher the number of times you turn the inventory, it is better. That means the inventory sits for a lesser time in your warehouses. If your turns are less, that means your inventories are sitting for a longer period of time, which is certainly a alarming sign. And then of course the capacity utilization, we talked about utilizing the resources, because these are actually your fixed cost. Whether you use the equipment or not, the depreciation of the equipment will be charged, which you know, reduces your EBITDA. And even your workforce, it's not a variable cost, it's a fixed cost. So whether you produce the material or not, whether you utilize your labor or not, this is a cost you are incurring. So if you're utilizing your capacities adequately, then your profitability will improve. So tying together volume and mix plans. So one of the stumbling blocks of the traditional S&OP is that volumes only plans often end up being infeasible when disaggregated to the mix level. The challenge is to translate the aggregate volume level plans to a SKU or mixed level operational plan and then test the feasibility of the plan before committing them. So what do you mean by aggregate level or high level plans? You are probably not talking of the operations plan or the manufacturing plan in terms of SKU, but at a very high level. So it's like saying, if I'm making a refrigerator, I'm talking of I will make so many thousand refrigerators. But it's important that when you are talking of the SKU, you're talking about specific models. So whether it's a twin door, three door, how many liter it is, which particular model it is, because these will also help you decide on what is the profitability, and you need to actually make your plans at the SKU level in the S&OP. The second challenge is to keep the plan feasible and in check. When the company can plan and execute in real time, it can bridge this gap between volume and mix plan and between planning and execution. So with the ERP system, generally you are executing the plan in real time. You have always updated information on the orders, on the inventories that you are holding, and this way you can maximize your revenue by producing those material for which you have or those products for which you have orders. And you know, you don't need to actually spend your resources where you have got inventories but you don't have orders. So for S&OP on demand, not only on schedule. So companies with a modern S&OP process enable a continuous flow of course correction to help generate more effective results. Because you have the orders coming in, now you may have the demand plan or the forecast coming once in a month, but the order flow is continuously monitored. And even in our organizations, we do this. We always check the actual performance against the forecast. Sometimes it so happens that the forecast is X and we find that the orders are much below. So in such a case, there is a course correction which has to be applied, and we decide whether we still want to go ahead and produce some material to stock or not. At the same time, if there is a surge in demand in another product which earlier was not planned or planned to a smaller volume, then we need to correct it. We need to check whether the components or the raw materials are available or not. If they are not available, we need to immediately order for the materials, and we have to see how best we can make use of the market opportunity in terms of the orders that we have on hand. So here are a few goals for S&OP on demand, not only on schedule. So unshackle yourself from the calendar. So another mindset that we have is, you know, that S&OP is only for a month, and we have a S&OP meeting, we form the plan for the month, and then we go on executing throughout the month as per the plan. This is not the thing. You constantly need to review your plans and make course correction. And your horizon can be, like I said, it can be 1 week. So it need not be that we have one S&OP per month. We can have a S&OP every week, and we can keep on changing our plan from week to week to ensure that we are making the products which will move out of the plant or which will fulfill the demand. Gather and analyze data faster. Encourage collaboration across your enterprise, because, you know, one needs to encourage the inputs coming from the various functions which are part of the S&OP. Support data integration across your supply chain. Okay. Single data model. So successful S&OP must be fed by solid and complete information from across the extended supply chain and supported by robust advanced planning analytics. And goes without saying that this is possible when you have a ERP system. Managing S&OP from a single application enables companies to better balance trade-offs and most effectively align volumes and mix, operations and finance. Again, we have touched upon this topic. It's a kind of a repeat. Only when the information and the capabilities are contained within one system, companies will achieve broad and deep visibility, fast and accurate analysis, and effective and continuous alignment. So we have touched upon this point. Continuous monitoring has to be there about the actual demand. So one is the forecasted demand, the other is the actual demand, and you have to constantly change your plan to fulfill the firm on-hand demand rather than a forecasted demand. From one system, we should be able to integrate data from every division, location, department, product family, legacy system, and supply chain partner. So again, ERP system allows you to do that, where under a single platform, all these informations are available. Administer both demand and supply planning. Centralize, track, and test assumptions of the plan, which can be done again in an MRP. View data at multiple hierarchies at any time to support the specific analysis you need to do. So in our case, we are able to analyze data, one, at the SKU level, number two, even at the what we call it as the bulk level. So, you know, while you may have one product, like for example, a specialty chemical, it is sold in three different pack sizes. Let us say you have a pack size of 50 kg, 100 kg, and a 200 kg pack size, or a 1000 kg pack size. Not only can we see the demand at the SKU level, but many times you also look at the demand for that product for all the SKUs put together. So that means what is the combined demand that we have for this particular chemical. The logic behind it is because in a chemical production, you are making the product in a batch size of, let's say, 10 to 20 tons, and you pack the material into individual SKUs depending upon the actual demand at that point of time or based on the forecast. So you can view the demand, you know, in terms of the forecast, etc., or even your production plan, either at the SKU level, or you also can look at it at a higher hierarchy level. And sometimes we also look at it, you know, in terms of the verticals, the categories, etc., and we are able to plan. So make changes at the volume level that automatically ripple down to the mix level and vice versa. Translate between units, dollars, and other units of measure. This is also possible. I mean, since we, I give the example of my organization, where we are operating across about 25 countries, and we are, each of us are operating in different currencies, but the inter company trade is essentially in dollar terms. So this system is capable of translating the values, etc., in rupee to dollar or dollar to rupee and vice versa with the other countries. As far as the units are concerned, our products are simpler. We talk in terms of kg or tons. So there is not much of a translation which is required. Evaluate different scenarios simultaneously and against multiple operational and financial metrics. So ERP is the solution here, because it allows you all this kind of flexibility and evaluation or assessment to be carried out. A what if capability is perhaps the single most vital key to effective S&OP. So here are some typical questions that can occur to executives. What if sales of the new product are slower than we expected? What if we run a promotion to clear out inventory of the older models? What if a distributor goes into a huge unpaid invoices? And these are very real situation. And generally with a ERP system, not only can you simulate this, but you can, even when such a case occurs, like for example, if the new product doesn't sell, you can immediately defer the further production plan, or you can tone down the production plan. You are running a promotion to clear out the inventory. Suddenly, I mean, you have certain rules set in. You may decide to again reproduce the material, or you may decide that you are going to phase out the material. And the last example of the distributor who has a huge unpaid invoice, that means he has a financial crisis. So the system, the moment something like this happens in an ERP system, the distributor or a customer will get blocked, and any orders that he has will become non-executable. So once that happens, automatically you will find that the demand of such a distributor or a customer will not be considered. So automatically it would scale down your demand to the extent, the orders placed by this distributor, or even the forecast which has come from the distributor. What if a natural calamity, calamities impact movement of goods for 2 weeks? So this is the kind of a simulation also which can be run in certain ERP systems. Not all ERP systems have this facility, but you can look at this, and maybe the system will also suggest what is the kind of inventory that you should be holding in such a scenario. Any enterprise with mature S&OP is continuously searching for better results. This brings balancing factors like taxes, go-to-market strategies, new product launches, sustainability, and all kinds of risk. And this is very true, because when you are using the S&OP, you're constantly upgrading your KPIs. Now, obviously, when you are upgrading your key performance indicators, sometimes the indicators may be in absolute terms, but many a times they are in relative terms. So you may be talking in terms of days of inventory on hand. Now this is a very popular KPI in the industry. So how many days of inventory are you operating with? And in our organizations, every year the KPI is reduced. So imagine it was our actual performance was 50 days for the previous year, and we would have a new target which would be 48 or 47 days. So the whole purpose is to refine your S&OP system and achieve superior results, you know, better results. That means you have to reduce the inventories without compromising your service levels, without compromising on your speed to the market. So to help find the answer, what if scenarios must be easily and quick to run, must accept data from many sources, and must support collaboration across the enterprise and the extended supply chain. It's a fairly statement. Coming to collaboration, people working together in the bedrock that supports everything else in the S&OP, this is an area where S&OP excellence can be won or lost. So collaboration is the key, and the S&OP and the single model system have to facilitate this. Collaboration is clearly about people and processes, but technology has a key role to play in promoting collaboration, which goes well beyond simply sharing data. So collaboration is not simply communication or so, but it basically looks at active participation and contribution from all the functional areas. Mature S&OP manages everyone, engages everyone, no matter where they sit or what KPIs they focus on. So in our kind of a structure, you know, you could be sitting in a different country. Since you are actually operating on a single ERP system, you are contributing, and you can engage through the ERP system on the S&OP. Successful S&OP involves everyone in true consensus building, so that even if one team has to temporarily trade off heartfelt KPI, top executives know they did it to achieve an even more strategic goal. So it does happen sometimes that you may be building inventories, or you may be there is a KPI, let's say, of the logistics team, the inward logistics team of transportation cost. Now you are faced with a situation where your plant is going to be shut because of want of some material, and you have to bring in the material by air at a phenomenal cost. Now could be the KPI of the inward logistics team is going to go haywire because of this additional cost. But what is more important is achieving the larger goal rather than looking at the KPI of one particular function. So you are always looking at the KPI and the outcome in a very holistic manner rather than looking at the excellence of individual functions. Dashboard and scorecards. Dashboards provide a visual. A mature S&OP system generates a graphical dashboard showing the KPI of most interest, that is sales, profit, ROI, inventory turns, customer satisfaction, etc. So this kind of dashboard makes it far faster, easier for most people to understand the current status, spot trends, and notice developing issues. S&OP dashboards should be role-based so that they show the data that matters most to the person looking at them, but hide any information that person should not be able to access. So what happened in traditional system was that you had the monthly performance, and there used to be a monthly report which used to be prepared maybe 1 week after the month ended. And by the time the report is actually circulated to the people, half the month has gone and you didn't have time for any reaction. Today in my system, there are certain softwares, one of them is Power BI, where we have this dashboards, And there are major KPIs, right from the, you know, the sales, the profitability, you have the inventory, slow movers, you know, what is the kind of liquidation of slow movers that you have done, what are the orders in the system, what are the overdues, how much payments have been received, who are the major customers whose payments are falling due, you know, in the coming days, and in the descending order of the receivable value. So this kind of a dashboard actually help you take decisions and help you to take actions. And there is no effort required. They are directly coupled or hooked up with your ERP system. So there is no human effort required, and you are seeing the information with minimal delay. Like the dashboard that I'm talking of are refreshed twice in a day. So once they are refreshed in the night, so if I have made the sale on the previous day, these will be refreshed in the night, and then once again it will be refreshed in the midday. So I can see it is not real time, but it gives you the information which is very, very fresh, and this helps you to control your business and, you know, take immediate actions. So it even highlights if you're heading for a problem, or you suddenly find that your sales are dropping or your margins are dropping, then you have scope to actually look into where you're going wrong. And everything is happening in real time. So even if there is a change in raw material cost or so, which is actually leading to, let's say, loss of margin in a product, then you can immediately drill down and fix the root cause why, you know, you have a drop in margin, or maybe it's because of a mix effect, or some product is being sold at an extremely low margin. So the dashboard is of key importance, and it basically drives decisions and helps you to do the course correction, you know, without more damage is done. So S&OP dashboards should be role-based. You know, there are some sensitive informations, like even in my organization, information like, you know, profitability or revenue, etc. Not everyone can access it. So there is a hierarchy. Even some information relating to the inventories, etc. is not available to everyone. The accesses are controlled depending upon the need-to-know basis. So this is one of the requirement of the dashboard and the scoreboard systems. So scorecards keep everyone honest. You know, they come from the system, data is picked up from the system. So there is no way you can influence or bias the data by any kind of a manipulation. The data in the S&OP dashboard should be evaluated against the company's financial and operational targets to actively monitor the plans and get immediate alerts to deviations that put the plan at risk. So as I said, you know, if there are any major deviations, you will see it immediately, because the dashboards also can show you what are your KPIs or what are your target levels. And if you're falling below, it will immediately show that you're performing below those targets. So coming to the summary, supply chain planning helps businesses balance demand and supply. It's primarily required because of the market volatility in an extended supply chain environment, where the supply chain extends beyond the company's walls towards the customer and suppliers. So this in turn requires organizations to not only effectively plan their resources internally, but also collaborate with external businesses partners to proactively react to any market supply chain situation. Basically, it's all about grabbing the opportunity, making the most of the market demand, at the same time constantly doing a course correction to ensure that you do not land up building inventory of finished product we don't sell and losing opportunity for orders, firm orders that you have, which you could have supplied. Thank you.